Welcome to the first regular season edition this year of the Big Pod Machine. This is Pat Brennan. I'm Gordon Wittenmeyer. Phil Didion's our terrific producer behind the scenes. Pat, it's only been four games as we tape this, where, as you can see, they're getting ready for the fifth game behind us. Not a bad start for the Redlegs so far this year, at least pitching-wise, clean baseball-wise, Sal Stewart-wise. What do you make so far of the season?
Well, my big takeaway through four games, Gordon, is
they're going to win the whole thing?
Not quite. No, I'm not there yet. I'm going to wait, but I'm going to hold out maybe till at least the end of April before I go there. But
I don't know, man,
this team is you're seeing this team play and be managed and achieve in the ways that it was designed to in the offseason. They are playing cleaner, which has been a big Terry Francona initiative.
No errors through the first four games for a team that going into, say, last year was suspect as hell just about everywhere defensively.
They're winning close games. They've won in extra innings already, both things that were troublesome at different points along the way last year en route to the postseason. Gino Suarez has come through in the middle of the order.
He won a game for him already, which is with a home run.
Yeah.
Which is exactly why he's here. I think that's a direct
almost
quote.
A verbatim quote by that's why we went
from
that's
Terry
why we got
Francona,
him.
Yeah.
So this is what you hoped for from the 2026 Reds through four games.
I think that given that the rotation, maybe predictably so, hasn't given you a ton of innings so far.
Yeah.
You haven't gotten any real clunkers either.
Yeah.
But you've gotten, four innings, five innings so far, four times through. I think that's only going to get better, especially as Nick Lodolo maybe comes back from the IL during that first road trip.
Yeah.
Maybe during that Miami series.
Yeah.
And then that's going to deepen because you'll probably go back to what they originally were going to do with the rotation and have who right now are the 3, 4, 5 starters, Lauder, Burns, and Williamson, combine in the last two spots in the rotation, innings wise, should make you stronger in terms of make your pen stronger, make your rotation deeper. So the fact they're doing what they're doing already, with the strength of their team on paper not necessarily being the strength that we anticipated coming in, so far, it's got to be a good sign. Not the least of which is just a focused, clean baseball so far.
Yeah. I mean, I was telling a friend of ours this afternoon over brunch that, you can't win anything in April, but you can make it a heck of a lot harder for yourself if you don't play good baseball and dig yourself a hole. Right now, this is the what? You said the Reds were tied for the best record in baseball?
3-1.
Through four games. I mean, but look, that's
with three wins in a row.
But they're doing what they need to do.
They're doing what they need to do. I mean, they got shut out in the first game. When they score, they win.
Yeah.
I mean, the last two games, they've scored three runs and two runs. And in each case, all the runs came in one inning in those games, including one on one swing.
Yeah.
Three runs on one swing to win a game 3-2, and that's Gino Suarez.
I think, maybe some
that's
people
where the
might,
pitching and the clean baseball come in.
But and some people might say, well, do you want to be a team that wins via the home run like that and can't string hits together? That's part of what they were missing last year and made it such.
They couldn't win a game with home runs last year.
As part of what made getting to the postseason such drudgery last year.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You'll take that, absolutely.
Yeah, and again, this is only four games in, 150 whatever to go. But I'll tell you one thing, that opening series against the Red Sox, that's a good team.
Yeah.
I expect that team to be in the playoffs this year. They expect to be in the playoffs this year. And so to win a series against them, I do think says something.
Yeah, absolutely.
The other thing we haven't seen much of is really a lot of hitting. I mean, Matt McClain's done pretty well in the early going. Sal Stewart's been
crushing the ball.
Sal Stewart's been carrying this team offensively. They're not getting anything out of leadoff spot. I think Ellie has got a couple of hits.
Yeah,
he's hit about 200 four games in. I mean, again, for what it's worth, he's going to be fine. These guys are going to be fine. But so far, it's the Sal Stewart show. And my God, what a show it's been! It's been fireworks, man.
NL Player of the Week. Granted, it was a short week. That's basically for the Red Sox. That is for the Red Sox series and nothing else.
But then he comes right back out and gets a hit and two walks in his next three plate appearances.
Yeah, I mean, the guy is just playing out of his mind right now offensively. And I think it's safe to say, I think you made a comment about a great double play that he turned in the first game of this Pirates series. The guy can, you know, he's showing glimpses of everything that he can do. And it's still a long way for this guy to go. There's still, it stands to reason, there's still some room for development left there.
It stands to reason there's maybe a hiccup coming somewhere.
Absolutely.
But gosh, I don't know if there's got, this guy's got a month plus in the big leagues. And I don't know if there's a more confident guy who steps into a batter's box for this team than that guy. He knows what he's doing. He knows his strike zone. He's a very developed hitter already. And what you alluded to with the double play the other day, the one thing we wondered about coming in was, where does he fit defensively, especially on a team that went out and got Gino Suarez to take the DH spot and then had a Gold Glove finalist at first base last year in Spencer Steer. And I think what we've seen is a guy that worked his ass off in the offseason defensively. He worked all winter in Miami with Yonder Alonso, part of the group that works out at the University of Miami down there that includes his good buddy Manny Machado. But he emphasized footwork and turning double plays, just all the nuances that go into first base. And Freddie Benavides, the infield coach, came down and worked with him briefly for a while. And the whole time, he's texting and calling and trading video with Mike Napoli, the coach who helped turn Spencer Steer into a Gold Glove finalist at first base. So it's paying off. And not only that, but he got in touch with a nutritionist, did a lot of conditioning, and he's in much better shape than he was when he got called up.
I mean, well documented. It's been a story since Reds Fest when a lot of us, at least I'll speak for myself, I hadn't seen him all off season until Reds Fest. And just, I, you know, just kind of a different body type, really, with the changes he made. He shed about 20 pounds at least.
25, maybe 30.
Yeah. I mean, the guy looks fantastic. And his power certainly hasn't suffered for the weight that he took off.
No. And one thing that happened right before the season started. So coming into spring training, it looked like the lineup was going to have Gino Suarez right behind Ellie De La Cruz, protecting him in that cleanup spot with maybe Sal behind Suarez. And toward the end of camp, when Suarez came back from the WBC, after a lot of conversations with the coaching staff, Tito decided to flip him. Sal was going so good, and he hardly ever strikes out. Ellie strikes out at a fairly high clip still. Yeah. Gino strikes out at a very high clip. So not having the back-to-back strikeout guys in there. So he drops the very disciplined, albeit young, hitter in between them. And it's really paid off.
Yeah.
It's part of why when Gino came up to bat the other day, there were two guys on, and it became a three-run homer. So it's working. Even with the rest of the lineup not producing really well at the top and the bottom, the middle is kind of as advertised so far. Well, most of that being provided by Sal Stewart. And I just want to make one more point on that with the strikeouts. It wasn't until his 17th trip to the plate this season that Sal Stewart struck out for the first time. Now, if you extrapolate that for a full season, that's the one thing. Like, you can say, well, a guy has home runs in his first three games. Boy, he's on pace for, 100 and whatever home runs. But, no, this is the one thing that you can kind of look at and say it bodes well because this is who he is anyway.
Yeah.
And if you extrapolate that out, I mean, that's like 30 strikeouts in a season, 30-something strikeouts in a season. that's really low in this day.
Just
I mean, that's
don't
like,
see that much anymore.
It's crazy. So that's a good sign. And he's got a ton of walks already.
Yeah.
He's got five walks.
Five walks in four games.
So this is the kind of stuff that is sort of projectable and that you have a right to be optimistic about, you know, if not quite bank on.
Yeah. Gordon, let me ask you something. How do you feel like the pitching has been? Why don't we start with the starters, and what's your impression been? I think Abbott came out, silenced a lot of people who were concerned about where he was coming out of spring. Brady Singer, maybe the, if you want to call it that, the weak link so far through four games. Again, just his first start of the season.
I think he got four innings.
Yeah. And then you get 5-5 from Rhett Lauder and Chase Burns. And we'll talk to you guys in our next episode about how Brandon Williamson does in his turn. But what are your thoughts on the starters so far?
Well, I think the fact that mid March, Hunter Green has the bone chip surgery, so he's going to be out till July. And you figure you got it covered with the depth you've got.
Yeah.
At that point, you know that Abbott's going to start opening day, and you just move everybody up. And you still got those three guys for the back five spots. And then all of a sudden, Nick Lodolo gets the blister. He was going to be your number two starter in the rotation.
Yeah.
Now he's opening on the IL, and now your depth is down to as far as you can go with guys that you feel very confident about being competitive. But it also means that, like, you got to come out of the gate, like, if one guy doesn't give you a lot of innings that can really hammer the bullpen, depending on where that happens. So
yeah.
I think that where it hasn't been a best-case scenario, it's been a good-case scenario so far, especially with the performances, with the guys that haven't looked like they had it. I don't know that Chase Burns had command of that fastball, at least early in his start.
Yeah.
And he winds up with five scoreless because his stuff is that good. His slider's that good.
Yeah, we were probably about an inning away from getting to no-hitter watch with him against the Pirates.
Right.
Not that I think he would have gone the full nine innings with where he was at. I think Terry Francona said after the game his hard limit for pitch count was 80. He was at 70. Yeah. 78, I think, 76, 78 when he came out. So that was going to be it for him. But still, no hit the Pirates through four.
And you said it, you know, Brady didn't have his best stuff, and he gives you four, and you're able to get through. The other part of that equation, you talk about the whole pitching staff, you know, they bring up Jose Franco, a rookie who makes his major league debut as kind of what one of those three guys would have been at the back end of your rotation, your bulk reliever guy. He comes in and gives you multiple innings after Chase, and he did well. Almost two innings. It was scoreless. That is a best-case scenario.
Yeah.
So that really saved the bullpen because you've been leaning hard on some guys those first three games.
Bullpen's covered, I think, 18 innings through four games, and they had three shut down for the opener of the Pirates series. So Franco steps in and really helps you, you know, I mean, he's their length guy, and he extended that bullpen across the finish line. Connor Phillips came in, got his first career
shot. I was going to say, there's two other guys in there that really make me want to say something about him. One of them is a closer, Pagan, who came in his first appearance in the second game of the year and blew the save. They wound up winning in extra innings, but he blew the save.
Mm-hmm.
He comes back the next day and gets the save, which shows you the value of that guy in that role.
Yeah.
Because as he likes to say, he views every day as a different thing, as a fresh start, different start, whether he's on a 10 save streak or a four blown save streak.
Yeah.
Every day's different to him, as it should be. And he's a veteran guy. That's why he's in that role. That's why he does well in that role. So to see that, that's a good sign.
Yeah.
And then Connor Phillips. Didn't really look great the first time out. Looked really good the next time out.
Yeah, two scoreless
innings.
And
started looking like the guy that we saw down the stretch last year.
Two scoreless innings and the extra inning win over Boston in the middle game of that series. Picked up a win, very deserved. Only faced a quirk of the modern game, Gordon.
Yes.
Because they turned a double play in the 11th inning, the top of the 11th inning, picking off the – well, not picking off, but line drive out, ghost runner gets tagged out for not tagging up. Only faced five batters.
Five batters, six outs.
Try explaining that to a beat writer from even 10 years ago.
Yeah, right, right. How does this happen?
Yeah.
Well, there's no explanation.
Yeah, it's what the game is
10
now.
Years ago.
Yeah. But, yeah, and then first career save. He has he's done the job. He's done the job early. And I think that's the main takeaway from these first four games and probably for a substantial part of the first few weeks of the season. Just how you win doesn't really matter. They're finding – guys are stepping up in these spots and delivering. And more than just keeping the Reds afloat.
I'll say this because I hear what you're saying, how you win doesn't matter. Winning is the thing. And a lot of times that can carry over and improve your game even if you're not winning playing great baseball. But they are playing good baseball.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. So the fact that they're playing good baseball, even in a loss, they play good baseball. They haven't committed an error in four games. They've run the bases clean. They've played clean in the field. Their heads are in the game. I'll tell you what, man. One of the things we haven't talked about, and this is another part of kind of the, I don't know, the discipline or focus that we've seen so far, is the ABS success. So that's the automated ball strike challenge system, which everybody, I'm sure by now, is very familiar with because it's been one of the more entertaining parts across the baseball landscape in the first week of games. But these guys are, if I've got my count right, 8 for 9 on challenges so far.
Yeah.
They've got a system. There's guys that are going to be reluctant to do it at all unless it's late innings, the right time. There's certain guys that get more trusted with the challenge as part of their system. And the overarching, the biggest part of their system is always have one in your back pocket at the end of the game.
And they have.
And they have. Unlike the Red Sox, whose rookie guy at the top of the order ran them out of challenges in the third inning. And
second game
of the season.
On a day when home plate umpire C.B. Buckner was not on his game. And they could have used that challenge.
They could have used it multiple times the rest of the game. And, in fact, their manager got run for arguing balls and strikes on an egregious call. That was a check swing call.
Probably a build-up.
But it was a build-up of some other calls, too, that they just couldn't channel.
Yeah.
And well, so,
hey, what do you say? You want to get down to Tito?
Yeah, we should probably do that. So stay tuned. It's off to a good start for the Reds. What did we say? First place?
Yeah.
First place, four games in. Thanks for watching this abbreviated first regular season edition of the Big Pod Machine. For my partner, Pat Brennan, I'm Gordon Whitmire and Phil Didion behind the scenes. We'll talk next week.